Who let you watch that? Who let you watch that?
Does this movie suck?
We are the youth gone wild.
No, we're not.
We're Andy and Gabe.
Yeah. You might know us from our regular everyday podcast that you might know and love. If you don't know it, we know you'll love it.
Yeah.
It's called Who Let You Watch That? It's much, it usually is a lot more enthusiasm than that. But it's called Who Let You Watch That? This is our other podcast. Andy, what is this thing called?
Does this movie suck?
Does this movie suck? Does guys, gals,
friends,
everybody.
Yeah.
We ask the hard-hitting questions, so you don't have to. Every day you're like, I'm aware of this movie. I'm aware of that movie. I've seen a couple of them. I don't know what's worth my time. I don't know. I saw this one movie, and I really didn't like it, but people say it's great. I thought it sucked, or vice versa. Hey, everyone says this movie sucks. This one's special to me in my heart. How can it suck? We are here to help you understand what to think, how to feel.
That's our job. Don't do the thinking. We do it for you.
Yes.
And in that, we come with strict criteria, notes,
Research. Yeah.
And we make it happen. We put in the work so you don't have to. Guys, this week, we're going from something from our own wheelhouse.
Yep.
It's going to be a controversial episode, guys, because one of our best friends, one of your best friends, he is strongly associated with this movie. A writer.
Yeah.
He came up with the entire concept. You might have heard of him. A man by the name of Joshua Vieden. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I mean, you're taking liberties with the accent. I mean, you're going back to the old world with that one.
Old world.
Yeah, a lot of people know him as Joss Whedon, but, you know, I like his Christian pronunciation.
Yeah, you guys. So this week, you guys, we're going by a movie that he wrote in his sleep. And we are going through a movie that he wrote, a little movie by the name of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
We've been hearing a lot about it. You know, Josh has been on our mind ever since, you know, we went to the Oppenheimer
premiere. Yeah.
He's been on our mind, and we started thinking about all the movies. Mm-hmm. We got into a hot debate the other day talking about the movie Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, yeah.
Because we were both on the agreement, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the show, rules.
It rules, yeah.
So we're like, you know what? We need to talk about the movie because we don't agree. We need to get down into the nitty-gritty on this. And
yeah.
It, you know, it got us thinking about the whole the movie. We're like, oh, we're going back and forth. We're going back and forth. Save it. Bring it to the podcast.
Yep.
Hit the button. Record it. And that's what we're doing. We're in the studio recording this episode ready, you guys. But before we get into that, let's get a little backstory on the movie, you guys. You know Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's about the flighty teenage girl, Buffy Summers, learns that she is her generation's destined battler of vampires, you guys. This movie, I mean, it's a classic of the early 90s, you guys. And, I mean, look at that cover.
Yeah, I was just lost.
I saw you get lost.
Honestly, I was lost in the sauce that is Christy Swanson's legs.
Christy Swanson.
This the movie poster simply says Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and then in white, she knows a sucker when she sees one. And she's, you know, listen, let's be honest. This is a very attractive woman, okay? And the poster is just her from, like, the tummy down. In a cheerleader outfit. Andy's talking, and I'm listening to what he's saying, but I definitely got lost with these visuals for just a minute. You know, just a minute. This was 1992. This is important.
Dude, yeah. Christy Swanson, she was a powerhouse in this movie, you know? Not that is going to get talked about in spades once we get into the criteria, you know?
Yes.
Who else is in this movie, you know? We got Donald Sutherland, father, patriarch of the Sutherland name.
He is. Kiefer's daddy.
Kiefer's daddy, dude. A man that knows vampires.
He knows. Some call him the original vampire.
Yeah.
And those people, they don't know Rutger Hauer.
Dude, the hobo with the shotgun himself.
The hobo with a shotgun.
He is in there doing the work, you guys.
He is. He's like, look it. I'm Blade Runner. When I'm not Blade Runner, I'm Buffy the Vampire Slayer's arch nemesis, the Lothos.
Lothos, dude.
Yeah.
Killing it.
And then when I'm not Lothos, I'm a hobo with a shotgun. Do you remember when I invited you and your beautiful wife and all of our friends over to our home?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do.
Told you guys that we were expecting our first child and then put on hobo with a shotgun. It is still a moment that my wife hates and is so mad at me over.
I think it's great. I think it's lovely.
I know everyone but my wife was laughing very hard and then touched. And then we watched that movie.
Yeah.
That is just foul. It's a foul movie.
I think we loved it.
It's
I think
great.
Everybody
yeah.
loved it. I know your wife loved it.
Yeah. In her heart, she loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Luke Perry, rest in power.
Rest in power, Luke.
He was in this. A young Hilary Swank.
Luke Perry, his son is a professional wrestler known as Jungle Boy.
No, really?
Yeah.
Now, there are billboards all over Los Angeles for the Jungle Boys. Is that him?
No, I think those are the Island Boys.
No, there's giant billboards that say Jungle Boys.
Oh, really?
It's a dispensary. I'm making a silly joke, but it's real. So he's called Jungle Boy?
Jungle Boy. He's a professional wrestler.
Okay, all right.
Good job, Luke.
Luke Perry's son.
Yeah.
Way to go. I thought Luke Perry's son was KJ Apa, the guy who plays...
KJ Apa.
Yeah, the guy who plays Riverdale.
Archie,
that's who he plays on Riverdale. His character's name is not Riverdale.
Archie Riverdale.
Hey, listen, we're talking about a serious movie, though, and this is a hot debate. You know who else is in this movie?
Oh, shit.
Ah.
Damn, dude. Paul Rubens is in this movie.
Paul Rubens is in this movie. Of course he's in this movie. Paul Rubens is a immovable force.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Dude, Paul Rubens is in this movie.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
you know,
Paul Rubens, he recently passed away.
Oh, man. Yeah, Paul Rubens, man. Paul Rubens, when I think about Paul Rubens, there are people in your life that you've never, ever met. You know what I mean?
But yeah, like, yeah.
You know them, though. You know, you look on the screen and you're like, man, oh, man, that's Pee Wee Herman.
Yep.
That is the man who raised me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That child boy took a little small Andy and invited me week by week into his playhouse.
He was a child boy? He wasn't like a man child?
He was a child boy.
Okay, all right. Keep going.
I saw it. Uh-huh. Every week he would invite me into his playhouse, you know? And I'd go there and I'd have fun for hours and hours.
Mm-hmm.
And in lots of ways, I think he would shape the man that I am today.
Yeah. I'd say so. There's a lot of Pee-wee in both of us. There's a lot of Pee-wee in your sense of humor, sense of humor. I mean, just the love of the absurd.
The love of the absurd.
Yeah.
Very much so, man.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically like, you know, I think like I love the B-52s and you know, they're silly nonsensical stuff. And I feel like Pee-wee Herman is like the human embodiment of that.
Yeah.
And John Waters, the non-like X-rated piece of John Waters, I feel like Pee-wee Herman is John Waters for children.
Yes.
And for everyone else. Because John Waters is a very like acquired taste. You know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. So. Man, and that's an interesting thing. With Pee-wee Herman, this character that he created, very much, you know, I fell in love with him as Pee-wee Herman's Playhouse, you know, and the Saturday morning cartoon of it and the kid aspect of it.
Yeah.
But like it started off not like that, you know. It was kind
Correct.
Of like
yeah.
it was for adults and everything. Like did you ever see like that I knew it from like HBO, like the Pee-wee's I don't know if it's called Pee-wee's Playhouse, but it was like a Pee-wee adult version of it, and Phil Hartman's in it.
Wasn't it Pee Wee and Friends?
Pee Wee and Friends or something. To
yeah, I definitely saw it. Yeah,
I haven't seen it in years, but I remember the first time that I discovered that when I was like a little bit older and going like, wait a minute, what the hell is this? And there's kind of like some raunch jokes and stuff in there, and you're going like, oh.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. This is awesome. It's not just Pee Wee for like a, you know, a kid and being silly and everything, but for me now as like a teenager and an adult, hell yeah, dude. This is what I need. This is what I want.
Yeah, it was. So, you know, from what I remember, so I read Elvira's book, and the two of them came up at the same time in Second City. And Paul had this character. Well, she had been workshopping. Cassandra Peterson had been coming up with like these take on like Valley Girl characters. And she was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to do this thing, and ends up being like ends up creating Elvira. And at the same time, Paul Rubens is creating Pee Wee Herman. And they were like dear friends that would perform together all the time. And go out and drink and hang out and party and have a great time. And they just became like the best of friends ever. And it was the type of thing where like they went in different paths, but they had very similar careers where they became like just they had like cult status, you know, where Elvira's. Yeah, exactly. And but it was all built in this like super silly, super irreverent take up on or send up of like traditional Americana.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And in her book, she like speaks very lovingly and reverently of Paul and like what he did with Pee Wee Herman. And yeah, dude, I think about that all the time. Years ago, I got to do this really cool thing, this like charity group where I worked with all these artists. And year one of this like nonprofit thing we were doing. Yeah, so we had the opportunity to work, or I had the opportunity to work with Wayne White, and this is the guy that, you know, he created so many iconic characters, but he's the guy that gets a lot of credit for creating the sort of the look and feel, the sets and some of the characters, like Cherry and stuff. And the guy certainly did some amazing stuff, but when I met him, I gushed a little bit because his contemporary work is incredible. It's his stuff's beautiful. He does really wild, abstract stuff like you would imagine. And he did a really cool piece for our thing too. But I was like, oh my gosh, like I grew up on your work. And he was like, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it. I was like, no, seriously, like you're a genius. Yeah. You're amazing. And he was like, well, don't give me all the credit. He's just like, Paul was very heavy-handed in there in the best way. Like, you know, he had a very clear vision for every aspect of the show. So he knew the character inside and out, but, like, he knew what he wanted in his world. Like, he knew what he wanted with the puppets, everything like that. And I think, like, you know, Jim Henson is, of course, another genius, this, like, Goliath. But I don't think Paul Rubens gets his due. Like he created this whole world that was very Henson-esque in his own irreverent way. So
I love that. That is fantastic. I don't know, piggyback, you know, you brought up the set pieces and everything that White did and everything and that world that he created. Have you had an opportunity to ever share any aspect of Pee Wee Herman, the Playhouse, or Pee Wee's Big Adventure, Big Top Pee Wee, anything with the kids or anything like that? Or like,
So I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago when maybe it was longer ago, but when his newer movie came out on Netflix with Joe Manganiello, like where he's trying to, it's like all around like Joe Manganiello's birthday or something
like
that.
Yeah,
it is so ridiculous and absurd. We watched that with the kids,
okay,
and they loved it. They thought it was so funny.
Awesome.
That we then went and watched. We watched then everything else that we could get our hands on. So we watched the movies. The kids love the movies. They liked Big Top better than the adventure. Because I don't know why. I mean, that one's really silly.
Yeah, I think that's what it is because it's so silly. The first one, the Pee Wee's Big Adventure, is of those movies, it's kind of serious in a lot of ways. Like it's like got like some scary elements and stuff to it.
Yeah,
we could probably do a Who Let You Watch That movie.
Definitely, just on Large Marge.
Just on Large Marge, man. The devil seat and everything, dude.
That is true. You know, yeah, it's funny. And I didn't remember any of that. So I was watching it with the kids and I was like, oh, damn. And my wife was like, you should fast forward this part.
Yeah.
Like with Large Marge, she's like, I remember this part. I'm like, yeah, I do too. And she's like, you should fast forward this. I'm like, yeah, probably. But yeah.
Hey, kids, look over there.
Yeah, the kids loved it. And it's, you know, it's interesting. You know, I didn't think much of it. But, you know, that was, you know, that was a year or two ago.
Yeah.
When the news had come out this week that he had passed away, our daughter saw it on one of our phones or whatever. And she was like, oh, he died? Oh, that's so sad. And I was like, oh, do you remember? And she's like, yeah, he's really funny.
Oh.
So, like, it was, she's not, like, devastated, but she was like, yeah, he's really funny. And she asked to watch it. And I was like, absolutely. So this weekend, we're going to watch all three of the movies again.
Love it.
Yeah. Just a little celebration, you know? I mean,
dude,
guy's a genius. He's going to be missed.
Yeah, man. Know? Like, so, you know, after the news came on, it was one of those things. You know, with my boy, a little bit younger, you know,
he's only
4. Mm-hmm. I haven't shared really any pee wee with him. And I'm like, damn, you know, and I'm just going to like show like the intro thing, you know, get out of bed. And so, you know, I put that on just like the intro and the outro of the show and like let him watch that. And my kid, you know, he's very much like in this, he's so interested in what's real right now. He's like starting to put together like there's things that are like animated, but like there's also like real life and stuff. So like a lot of the times, he's big on like Ninja Turtles right now, so he keeps asking me like, "Are the Ninja Turtles real?" I'm like, "Well, what's real?" You know, like I'm getting really existential with my kid, and then I put on like the movie, like, "Look, they're talking to that woman right now in the sewer," like, "But they're real." I'm like, "You can see them, can't you?" So he sees Cherry and Terry and everything, you know, and he's just like, "Is that real?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, look, Pee-wee's jumping all over him, yeah." That must be real. He's like, so that's real. And I'm like, you could see it, right? Yeah. He's talking to him. He's singing to it. Like,
you're messing your kid up.
I mean, but, you know, as a kid, though, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. No, agreed.
You know, like if I was, you know, if I got to go to the playhouse, even though I know it's a puppet or something, it's like running into, I don't know, Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
Like if I met Kermit the Frog, I swear I would not talk to the damn you know, person.
Puppeteer,
that's
you talk
below.
To Kermit. Yeah.
I'm going to talk to damn Kermit. Yeah. I'm going to look Kermit in the ping pong eyes.
Yeah.
And that's who I'm going to talk to.
Yeah.
That damn puppet is real.
That's
Cherry
true.
Is real, you know? Yeah. Like, that's who I'm going to talk to.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
So, like, that's what I'm trying to instill my kid. Like, this world that he created is very much like a tangible thing, you know? It's real in the sense of, in my heart, it is real. Like, this was the most, like, real place. And it's sad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's there's a little bit of sadness, you know, and not to bum anybody out, but it's like, or bum them out more than they already are.
Yeah.
But like, I love Scott Aukerman. He's a podcast guy, but he had a great show on IFC for years, and he does a lot of live shows, and he hosts, other than our podcast, my favorite podcast, which is called Threedom. I love that one. And, he shared, because I guess, you know, him and Paul Rubens have been like dear friends for a decade or something like that. And he shared this story because apparently Paul had been fighting cancer for like 6 years.
Yeah.
And told no one. Like, no one had any idea
at
all.
What a move, man.
Yeah. Because he's like, nope, I'm not going to burden anybody. Like, no one's going to deal with any of this. And apparently, like, him and Scott had this like amazing correspondence back and forth, where, you know, they'd text and write letters and all this sort of stuff. And Scott would all the time, or Paul all the time, would be like, this is silly. We live across town from one another. Like, I need to just come over or have you over. And Scott would say the same thing and be like, all right, well, hey, we're having a barbecue. Like, come on over. And he said every time he would get these beautiful, long, you know, letters where he would politely decline and say, I'm so sorry, I have to do this and this and this, but I wish I could be there and everything. And he goes, now reading it in retrospect, like, oh, it's because he was, like, super sick.
Yeah.
And didn't want to, like, burden anybody with that, you know, didn't want to put anything in people's mind that wasn't this, like, amazing entertainer.
Yeah.
And you go, like, oh, my gosh, man, like, that's awesome. Like, the guy is just this king, you know, this amazing dude.
And it's, I don't know. It's like, and I don't see it like as a, like a selfish sort of way. It's very much almost like the opposite, where it's like,
yeah,
to kind of preserve this sort of idea. And like, of who it is, you know, of who, you know, that was. And, you know, some people will, you know, battle, you know, cancer and illness and stuff in the public eye and everything. And that's great to see, too. You know, but
no,
I don't know.
They're a huge strength for a lot of people. And
yeah,
and that's awesome. But yeah, dude,
I don't know. It's
I've been around people that are fighting through that.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I'm not going to say it's tough on me because it's a hell of a lot tougher on them.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a difficult thing for everyone to see. And it is hard. I had a friend very young who went through that when we were, you know, kids. And he insisted on, like, well, let's have fun and let's make it silly and stuff. And it was really hard to do that, you know. Like, I would try and I'd be super irreverent and stuff and just try to make him laugh. That was my goal. But, like, yeah, it's heavy. So I, you
super
know,
heavy.
I wonder if, you know, Paul's like, nope, we're not going to do that.
We're just going to
things are going to be silly and fun, and that's what it's going to be.
But he would still, like, do little things. Like, what was he was on an episode of What We Do in the Shadows. I think that was during this time, you know, where he came back as the character from Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
right.
Like a variation of that sort of person, you
exactly.
know, as a real vampire and
right.
everything,
exactly.
you know, it's like, oh, fucking Paul Rubens here.
Oh,
love
shit.
It.
We were talking about whether or not Buffy the Vampire Slayer sucks.
Oh, shit. You're right.
That's, it's got Paul Rubens in it.
No, so it's got Paul Rubens in it. This movie's, I mean, definitely doesn't suck.
No, this movie has to rule.
It has to rule, like, everything that he touched, right?
Yeah, everything that this guy touched. Gold, American treasure, should be in the Smithsonian.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, yeah, thinking about it, when he gets staked and he's going, it's one of the best physical bits ever.
Ever.
Makes me laugh every time.
Put that in the Smithsonian.
Just put that in the... Get rid of Archie Bunker's chair. He was a racist.
He was a racist. Tear down the Lincoln Memorial.
Tear down the Lincoln Memorial.
Build an animatronic of...
Pee-wee sitting on Cherry and going, That's what we need.
That's what we need.
All right, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It rules.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer rules. To space, Paul Rubens. To space.
To space. Excelsior.
You've just heard a Doomsday Initiative podcast. Consult a physician.